Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line?
Yes, I am.
How you doing this evening?
I'm blessed, thank you.
And do we have Dr. G on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Praise God, my good friend and mentor. How'd it go with your air conditioner? I heard you had to get a different air conditioning system last
week. Yeah, we enjoying that cold air now.
That's all right. I think my other brother Steve had to get one too. So those things hold up pretty good. But we thank God that you're back on the line tonight. And we're going to go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Sheila, you know, last week we studied 27th chapter of the book of Matthew, and it was dealing with Judas, one of the original 12 disciples, and he was the one that got caught up in himself and wanted to do things his way and ended up betraying Jesus, sold him for 30 pieces of silver, and then when he saw that Jesus was getting mistreated and was getting ready to be crucified, he wanted to repent and go back. And we had talked about sometimes when you do things, you can't take it back once you speak it out there, once you do it out there. And that he didn't want to follow the plan of God, but he wanted to follow his own plan. And mm-hmm. A lot of times when we follow our own plan, it gets us in trouble. You know, he thought that he could force Jesus' hand into overthrowing the Jewish leaders and the Roman government at that time. And he did not understand that Jesus had to come and to be a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And so once he saw that his plan wasn't going to work, then he wanted to jump back and do his own plan. And we were asked the question at the end of the broadcast that, was the word of God, how do people think that it's relevant today as it was back then. And, you know, that whole thing of you know, trying it our way and then realizing that our way is not working and then trying it God's way. And that's the relevancy of the Word of God is that we're going to try it our way. You know, it's just the human nature of doing it our way. And then once we get sick and tired of being sick and tired, we get tired of bumping our head up against the wall, trouble after trouble, that we just said, well, I might as well try it God's way. And then once we try it God's way, Dr. G, too many times we say, man, I wish I would have tried it God's way a long time ago. It wouldn't have to been this bad. But here we see that just people, I mean, you have a group of Romans, you have a group of Jews, you have people that are supposed to be following God, people that are not following God. It's just human. And as long as we have humans in this world, the word of God will be relevant. And so every week we see the comparisons of what was going on back then, what's going on today. It's just people that are not following God that'll end up saying and doing anything because they're leaning to their own devices. Sheila G.
Again, that's what we left out on last week when we were looking at the situation with Judas and betraying Christ, and how that, yes, the prophecy had to be fulfilled, but it also showed us the humanness and gave us a guide of what happens when we don't want to do it God's way, or when we do it our way and then realize that we just mess it up and then we want to try to redo it. And two things came out of it was, thank goodness that God does allow us to go back and he does forgive us for our sins, but by doing this, he gives us the illustration in the Bible for us to follow so that we don't fall in the same trap.
Dr. G, it seems like, again, the people have not changed. The people of today are mimicking the people of back then with the same old attitudes, the same old selfish purposes, the same old motives, the same old, I would call it, lack of following God. And it seems like, you know, Satan keeps setting that trap generation after generation, and people keep falling into it. Dr. G?
You're right. And to be honest with you, nothing has changed except the method and the ways that the enemy entices people and to do things. But people are still people. They're going to do things their way until, like you said, you know, they bump their heads and they find out that there's a better way to do things. And the sad part about that is the fact that, you know, all the wasted time trying to do it the way, wasted energy and effort and everything else.
Amen.
Yeah, it's just amazing how you look at this week after week, and I'm just looking at what was going on in church, what's going on with politicians, with Congress, Senate, president, look at what's going on with neighbors, look at what's going on with just general people in you come in contact with, and they're just doing things that they don't make sense, and they just do it because, you know, it's popular, or they do it because they want to be seen, or they do it to go along with the crowd. And you see it everywhere you go. And one of the things that's rearing its ugly head, it's always been in the current, is in our society is racism. It's like, you know, since our top leaders are not saying anything against it, folks are coming out and say, hey, if the top leadership says it's okay, everybody can go behind it. Act ignorant, and you got people that, you know, for a while would say, well, that's not popular, that's not what we want to do, so we'll repress that. Now
right.
they have people that are openly and blatantly, you know, practicing their racism. Now
right.
the ones that originally or tried to hold back aren't holding back. And that's the thing about sin and not dealing with the root cause is that eventually that thing will pop out and jump out,
mm-hmm.
Giving the right circumstance or the right egging on,
right.
it will come out. And that's what Jesus came to deal with. He came to deal with people's hearts. He didn't come to overthrow the Roman government. He didn't overcome
mm-hmm.
to come to overthrow the religious leaders that time. He came to get people's hearts straight because
right.
he knew that people are going to be people. They're going to do dumb stuff. They're going to say dumb stuff. They're going to treat each other wrong. They're going to disobey God. But he said if he could get their hearts right, then all the rest of this stuff would get in line. And I think this is where we are back then, and this is where we are today. If through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, people's hearts can get right, then the rest of us will be transformed into what God wants us to be. Sheila G.
Amen. And if more people would recognize that, if we could recognize that, then we would be able to convert more because there's an opportunity right now for the church to really rise up. Because there's so
mm-hmm.
many people that, you know, they were just talking about on the news how the suicide rate has increased and
mm-hmm.
how the depression rate and mm-hmm. then people, you know, the more and more people are depressed. And it's because we're hurting, and we're hurting because we've lost our moral compass. We're
mm-hmm.
hurting because, like you said, the hatred, there's more hatred in this world than love, even for our children.
Amen.
And it's an opportunity for those of us that are Christians or for the church to step it up and show that love and turn things around. But it's almost like all the religions and everybody, like you said, wants their own selfish agenda. Whereas if we were all come together as one body in Christ and one unified, love could overcome all this hate. And I think the sooner that the church, meaning the people of God,
mm-hmm.
recognize
mm-hmm.
we can overcome that hate that's in others and show them another way. But if for some reason the church is not stepping up, and it is almost like it was back then where you had
mm-hmm.
the Pharisees who were, quote, religious, and with
mm-hmm.
the politicians, and so because they're not doing it God's way, it's making a mess. But again, here you have Jesus come in to save the world, and if we would let the Jesus
mm-hmm.
in us, the Holy Spirit within us shine through, we would be able to save the world from all this hate.
Amen, amen. Let's go to Matthew 27, again, verse 11. It says, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And he wasn't going to get into a big to-do about him because he was there. He had showed his miracles. He had been ministering for 2.5 years, 3 years before the Jews, and everyone knew what he was doing. It wasn't a secret. He didn't do these things in the dark. He was in the synagogue every day, and he was in the Sabbath day. He was in the synagogue, and he was teaching. He was healing. He was doing all these things, and there was nothing hid. And you know, but people want to turn a blind eye to what's right so that they can do what is wrong. And you know, this whole thing of in our world now, people saying fake news, and people saying black is white and white is black. You know, that stuff's nothing new under the sun, but it's just so prevalent with our religious leaders. It's prevalent with our political leaders. And so Jesus, he didn't even he didn't even dignify this governor, you know, to say, you know, that is he the king of the Jews? And he's like, you know, I'm not even gonna dignify this question with an answer. And
mm-hmm.
in verse 12, he says, and when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. So he's not saying anything to the religious leaders. He's not saying anything to the governors or the Roman leaders at the time, because he knows that they know that they are being ridiculous. And you know, when people are wrong and then they're faking the funk, they know that
uh-huh.
they're faking it. But when you just sit there and look at them and say, really? You know, you all know that you're wrong. Know that you got ulterior motives. Know that you're just doing this to save your own hide. You know, I'm not even going to dignify it because you know it's wrong and I know it's wrong.
Right. Amen. And that's what we need more and more people to understand, that we don't always have to say anything. We don't always have to voice our opinion. In fact, when we do that with our tongues, with our actions, we're feeding into what that person wants. They want to fight. They want to lash out. By saying nothing, and again, here Jesus is as the example, is the truth will stand by itself. It doesn't need you to help. It doesn't need to get you to get wind in your jaws, fly off, talk about you being disrespected. Because here he's completely, like you said, they knew, and he knew they knew, because he did everything out in the open. But again, showing the example that the truth will stand by itself, so you don't have to go tit for tat, because it will just work its way out. And I think more of us need to understand that, because we tend to want to fly off or get in our feelings or make our point. But sometimes we don't need to verbally make our point, or even with our actions. Sometimes we can just sit there and let things play out and let the hot air run out of you until you end up twisting your own self up. And we see that a lot in politics now. It's like, okay, last week you said this, but this week you're saying that, which completely contradicts in the week before, 2 months ago. And it's just letting that hot air roll. Just keep on rolling. Just keep on saying it. Keep on saying it. And then that's how the truth comes out, because the truth will always stand. We don't always have to help it out. We don't have to help the Lord out. And that's he's showing here, that I don't need to argue with you, because you know what's right and I know what's right. And sometimes we as humans need to let it go. It may be uncomfortable. It may make us unhappy. We may feel bad about it, but we just got to sit back and allow it to work itself out.
Amen.
Amen. And in that verse 13, it says, "Then said Pilate, and here's thou not how many things they witness against thee." And, you know, they're going through this game, you know. I'm going to read the NIV. It says, "Then Pilate asked him, do you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" And in verse 14, it says, "Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor." And it's just like you said, Sheila G., they're just allowing it to play out, because as it plays out, they see how wrong they are. But Dr. G, it seems like that people will follow anybody. It's like they won't stand on the truth. They'll follow someone just to go along with the crowd. And you know, these leaders are lying and manipulating and saying all kind of false accusations. They're bringing in people to falsely accuse. It's like a whole big, you know, corruption thing, sort of like what's going on, you know, in our government now. You know, it's just a big mess, and you got people, you know, divided, taking sides because they want their side to win, irregardless of whether it's right or wrong. They just want to be seen as on the right side, and you see that prevalent in today's society. Dr. G, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, and especially when you look at the political arena. I was reading the paper today, and you know, the paper was saying how more and more of the Republicans are beginning to take on more of Trump. And it's pitiful, because this man is out of his mind, and they're becoming as bad as he is. It's not about right, wrong, no morals, none of that. It's all about pleasing that one man. And with Jesus, you know, Christ knew that, he didn't have anything to prove. And there was no reason for him to comment to what the governor was saying. So he just kept quiet. But somebody needs to tell our president he needs to take on more and less of himself.
Amen. And so we continue in verse 15. It says, "Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would." Now, here's the whole political religious scheme. And you know, I often tell people, you got to be careful what kind of politics you get into. You got to be careful what kind of religion you get into, because you have politicians and you have religious leaders that will manipulate people for their own good. And, you know, that's been going on forever. And people take advantage of people because they get them emotional. They tell them lies. They pit you against me, me against you, black against white, rich against poor, young against old. And it's a tried and true method to manipulate people into doing what you want. And so, you know, people manipulate people with, and take stuff out of the Bible, out of context. They manipulate what people say. They take sound bites from what one politician says about another, and they manipulate it for their own benefit. And so here we see at this particular time, the Jews that were under the Roman government authority, and they couldn't kill anybody on their cells, but you know, once a year they could come before Pilate, and he would release a prisoner, and he would be the one that would grant them the ability to kill someone or for a crime, but they had to get the approval from Pilate. And so the governor had to play a game, Pilate had to play a game in order to keep Caesar in Rome pleased. So he had to manage the Jews, and he couldn't have let them get in an uproar about who they wanted to kill, who they didn't want to kill. So he's playing politics. The religious leaders are playing politics because they don't want to lose power. And so, you know, now Jesus is calling them whitewashed suckers full of dead men's bones, calling them out, saying they're just, you know, religious, all talk and no action. And so now what they try to do is they try to kill people off. They try to kill people with their mouth. They try to kill people physically. The governor's trying to manipulate the Jews in order to keep Caesar happy. I mean, it's the same old stuff that's going on today. A bunch of cover this up, hide this, kill this one, manipulate this one, so that the masses will do what they want them to do. It's sort of like playing to their base, like we have in our politics now. They're playing to their base. They're paying to, you know, the 30 or 35% in politics, or they're playing to the clique in the church, those 30 or 40% of the people in the church that are in the clique, against the whole of the country or the whole of the church. And it's the same thing. And it's just playing out as one's trying to cover for the other. And so here we have the governor. He's afraid to go against the Jews, because then it'll be an uproar. Then his butt will be in a sling with Caesar in Rome. And so he's trying to appease, you know, the Jews, and trying to take a way out, saying, well, Barabbas is bad, so I'll let you, I know he's not as bad as Jesus, so I can save Jesus' life by releasing Barabbas, and then Jesus can stay on the scene and everybody be happy. But the folks flipped the script, and they said, no, go ahead and release Barabbas. We won't kill Jesus. And you know, it disturbed him, and it disturbed his wife, and it was just a mess of people not listening to God, not obeying God, not doing things God's way, and it turns into a cluster of mistake after mistake after mistake, all in the name of being someone in charge or in religious, a political leader or religious leader. They're supposed to be looking out for everyone, but in fact, they're just looking out for themselves. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's so typical of a tool that Satan likes to use, and that is the human ego. That human ego, everybody wants to be in power. It's about being in power, being right, everybody wanting to be popular, and it doesn't matter what the truth is. It doesn't matter what the right thing is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were kids and we would follow behind somebody that did something stupid, and we would say, well, so-and-so did it, and our parents would, well, if so-and-so jumped off the bridge, would you do that too? And that was something that taught us young, that you don't follow people just for following,
amen,
for the sake of following it, because it's a popular thing to do. But that's exactly what we have right now. You have people jumping off a cliff as And they know that the people that are jumping off the cliff are crazy, but they're jumping off of it anyway. And that's the trick of the enemy. He uses that power, that thing where we feel the need to need each other, where it's more important for us for people to like us than it is for us for us to trust and have faith in God, that knowing that if we stand alone, we're really not alone. And so here you had all these different sectors tiptoeing around it, and mm-hmm. they're all basically going to jump off to follow each other behind off the bridge because of that ego of who wants to be in power, who wants to be the most popular, who wants to please who.
And that fear comes in there also, Dr. D. It's like fear mongering. Well, if Jesus stays alone, we won't be the religious leaders anymore. And yeah. You know, same thing with Rome and Pilate. And Pilate says, well, if I mess up with these Jews that I'm supposed to be over, the governor saying it, then Caesar is gonna get rid of me. And it's a big fear thing. And you know, perfect love casts out all fear. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. But politicians and religious leaders, they use fear. They manipulate people in order to get things their way, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And the thing with all of these people, they will lie out of their teeth because they mm-hmm. are afraid. They're afraid of losing those positions. When you look back in biblical days, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they were all afraid of losing those positions. That's why they had to drum up those false charges against Christ and follow that thing through. And then, like you said, you know, with Pilate, he was afraid because he had to answer to Caesar and mm-hmm. that whole yards. And fear, the fear of losing what you have will cause people to do some strange things. But, again, there's no morals, no right and wrong. It's all about that the fear of losing where we are and what we have.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, you fast forward to today, it's a fear of the Browning of America, where the Caucasian privileged folk have been getting afraid that because of the Browning of America, that more folks are of color are coming in to the country, that, you know, that they feel like their Caucasian privilege is being taken from them. So you have politicians and religious leaders, you know, honing in and opining about that, and it creates a fear of just a person with a darker skin coming and possibly making them irrelevant instead of realizing that when we all are given the privilege or encouraged or given the opportunity that our country will benefit for all of us. But you have people that will manipulate that and take that Browning of America and use it against people or manipulate people to create this division in religion and in politics that God is not pleased with. And eventually it will have to come where people will have to repent and have to understand that God loved everyone. He's not a respecter of person. And when man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. And this is what this whole thing is, that the political leaders and religious leaders, again, like Dr. G, and you were saying, Sheila G, their moral compass has been lost. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of the repercussions of not following God. It's all about men. And so they fear men or mankind more than they fear God. And because of that, they choose to mistreat each other in a way that's not pleasing to God. Sheila G?
Amen. And the thing about that is, we are not learning from our history. Because like you said, it may work for a minute, you know, the fear of the Browning of America or the fear of, you know, way back in the slaves, then we had the civil rights And even when with the whole Holocaust with Hitler and everything. So it may work for a minute to suppress people, which is we had in the Old Testament. But eventually it flips that thing around and God says, okay, okay, okay. And when the wrath of the Lord comes down, being evil, you would have wished, you would think that people would look back way back to the Old Testament when Pharaoh was holding down the Jews. What happened? World War One, World War Two, and here we get, getting ready to go into this mess again. You cannot suppress God's people because at the end of the day, they are God's people. And when His wrath comes down, He'll let it happen. But so far, when His wrath comes down, I remember when 9/11 happened. Everybody was going around. Life is so wonderful. We're just United States, we're so puffed up. Boom. When 9/11 happened, there were so many people running to church. Giving God praying and asking for change when the stock market crashed in 2008 and all those rich boys got money, and that's coming
jumping
again,
out
too.
The window.
People were jumping out the window, and yeah, they hurried to put that black president in there. Now that he's turned it around, there's prosperity again. Here we go again. And not looking back history, even from the beginning of time, that it may work, that hate may work for a minute, but eventually when the wrath comes down, it comes down and it's ugly.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that?
Well, you know, the time was saying, people, that, as she said, people forget, you know, God is still ultimately in charge, and He may allow this to go on for a while, but if you look back during the hit, you know, it's all going to come to pass at some point. And, you know, you've got folk in these positions that, you know, because they are powerful and they got all this money, so they think what they say is gold. But they need to go back and check out some history. I mean, even if they don't check out the Bible, go look at the history.
That's true.
I mean, you know, the thing that made this country great was the fact that they did trust in God.
Right.
But now it's about trusting in their own individuals and their almighty greenback.
Yep.
You know, they better wake up because, as we've all said, it's getting ready to take place
and
again.
It's going to be ugly. Amen.
Amen. So let's look at this how it plays out with these characters. Let's go back to Verse 15 says, now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And in verse 16 it says, and they had been a notable prisoner, someone who was justifiably committed a crime or was justifiably doing things wrong, and his name was called Barabbas. And in verse 17, it says, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? So he's trying to play the political game. You know, who? I know Barabbas is bad, and I know they're going to say, release Jesus. And Barabbas, and, you know, it says, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. And in verse 18, it gives you a little background on Pilate. It says, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Let's look at verse 18 in the NIV. In the NIV it says, for, this is talking about Pilate, for he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. So Pilate knew what their scheme was. He knew that Jesus had done nothing wrong, but it was for their self-interest that they handed him over. So you see, again, you see this in all these political arenas, you know, and the branches of government, whether it's the Senate, whether it's the House, whether it's the executive branch, it's just a bunch of foolishness in the sight of God. And I always go back when we're studying this, and say, here is the creator of the universe. Here is the one that created us all. Here's the one that knows every hair on our head. And we're trying to manipulate stuff right in front of him. I mean, how embarrassing is this? This is so embarrassing just to read. These people are trying to manipulate Jesus. They're trying to do things to outsmart him. And it's just so dumb. And he's looking at them with so much love and compassion and letting them play the fool. It's a sad commentary to see these people that are supposed to be in charge, supposed to be the leaders of the known world at that time, just acting a total behind. And he knows what the Jews are doing, so he's trying to say, okay, who do you want me to release? He's playing the politics. I know Barabbas is bad, so I know you're going to release Jesus because I know y'all really want Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a sad commentary that they're going about doing this politics, doing this religious, I call it a kabuki dance, you know, all in self-interest. And then in verse 17, it says, in verse 19, it says, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent it in. So now it's affecting his wife because she knows God has been speaking to her, telling her this wrong. So all this stuff is building up. They knew that the Jews was coming. They knew it was going to be a feast. They knew it was going to be a showdown where they're going to come before Pilate because they couldn't do it on themselves. Pilate knew they was coming, so he didn't want the Jews to be in an uproar because he didn't want Caesar to come down on him. So everybody's playing a game, a kabuki dance, trying to get what they want, trying to keep, you know, their folks happy.
Right.
All in front of the Creator. And it's just a bunch of mess. And so now his wife's coming to Pilate in verse 19 when he was sat down on the judgment seat. His wife sent unto him saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And we look at it in the NIV. It says, while Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man. For I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of it. So she's troubled.
Mm-hmm.
He's troubled. The Jews
are
troubled. Everybody's
yep.
troubled but Jesus. And Jesus said, look
yep.
at these fools.
Mm-hmm.
And Barabbas, the one that should be going to jail, is the one that's set free. And, it's like, these are the corrupt folk that are supposed to be leading people. You look at these corrupt folk in our government, corrupt
yep.
folk in our churches, and the ones that should be held accountable, they're the ones running free.
Yeah.
Children.
Yeah. Amen. That's right. And it's here goes the hate. And it will fester and fester Again, time and time again, God has given us history. He's given an illustration to guide our lives because he does give us chance after chance after chance after chance. And once we make up in our mind, our human mind, we're going to do it this way. We manipulate,
yeah.
twist,
yeah.
turn around,
yeah.
and do it until the poop hits the fan. Then
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, that's what you were trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because so he's showing this all out. You know, it's not kind of like what we were talking about last week, that it's not that, okay, prophecy's been fulfilled, but he's given us detail as to how it happened, and we can use this as a guide to see how things are playing out. If nothing else, it can give us hope for the mess that this country is in right now, because here you're
mm-hmm.
seeing the same parallel mess, but we know the end of that story. So
yeah.
it's a guide
yeah.
to say that, yep, no matter how messed up, no matter how corrupt people are, no matter who's in what pocket, no matter how often you're sitting there like, don't these people see? Don't they get it? In the end, God is doing a little more. And he's given us this layout. So it's not like they just arrested him, boom, hung him on the cross, and then he rose from the dead.
Right,
no,
right.
It just had a whole methodology of just a comedy of errors, I guess you could say, where God allowed that, and it gives you an appreciation of what he allowed to go on so he could save
mm-hmm.
our lives. But we can use this word to give us hope
mm-hmm.
for today, because it's just as funky and messy today as
Amen.
It is right there,
Amen.
Where people
Amen.
Think they have control, think that they have their power, and don't recognize their humanness.
Mm.
Amen. Dr. G, what is it about people that are in authority that they forget about God? What is it?
Well, you know, at that point, they're not thinking about God. They're thinking about their positions, the power that they have, the authority. And for a lot of them, it goes to the head that, you know, no more am I working for the people. I'm working for myself. I mean, we have watched for the last couple of years all of the mess that has gone mm-hmm. down in the political arena. And as we've, you know, we've been trying to teach it, there's really nothing new under the sun. It's the same
Amen.
Junk going on back during biblical days. The times have changed, the ways have changed, but it's still, you've got corrupt people that would lie their way or say whatever they need to say to get in
mm-hmm.
the office. And the bad part about it is, in this day and time, you know, we have the word.
Right.
Here
yeah.
you've got people that have newspapers. They can they won't read anything other than the sports page. Then they'll get on talk about how well the Caps did. But yet you got all this other junk
mm-hmm.
going on.
Amen.
And people just will not stand up to what is evil and what is corrupt. I mean,
right.
you look at the NFL.
Yeah.
Rather than
mm-hmm.
the owners stand up to a Donald Trump,
right.
they're going to try to appease him.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
then what does he do? He still comes because he wants it his way. I mean, you know, come on. When are we going to learn? So, you know, he can say what he wants, disrespect anybody, but yet if somebody says something about him, that's disrespectful.
Amen.
So, I mean, you know, but it's nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Right there.
Nothing new.
It's nothing new. And again, it's the manipulation of the people. People won't stand up for what is right. Even, like you said, the religious leaders have abdicated their position just to, you know, stay on somebody's good side. And so as we finish looking at this in verse, it says, but the chief priest and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And if you look at that in the NIV, it says, but the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. So here again, you got they got their bases, if you will, their religious base, their political base, and they're manipulating people to do the wrong thing.
Right.
And that's what's so crazy about elections and you know, you've been in church meetings where, you know,
yeah.
you have this group over here is manipulating the rest of the church to do the wrong thing. Everybody knows it's wrong, but you got this
mm-hmm.
clique in the church that people are doing the wrong thing. They won't listen to what the Word of God says. In politics, they won't listen. And then you have people that won't vote, whether it's in
yep.
church or whether
yep.
it's in politics. And then you have these few people that can manipulate the masses into doing the wrong thing. And again, there's nothing new under the sun. And so they know that Barabbas was wrong. That's just like when our president, who was president-elect, they had this Access Hollywood tape came out, and he's talking about
yeah.
grabbing people by the private parts and what he can do to them and you know, calling people rapists and murderers. And, you know, and it's like, he's showing you and telling you what it is. It's like Barabbas is a criminal. Do you know what he is? You know he's not right. You've seen Jesus heal the sick. You've seen him, you know, unstop the deaf ears. You've seen him do all of these things. And yet you want a criminal release or you want
mm-hmm.
a criminal elected. And you want Jesus, the righteous one, crucified.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's the same parallel. It's the same human depravity because of sin that would choose the wrong thing over
right.
the right thing because men love sin more than
right.
they love light.
Right.
Love darkness
and then,
more than they love light.
Because they love to be loved by other people. It's like the as opposed to the love of Christ, it's important for them to have the love of man. And that's why we always tell people that you need to know Jesus
for yourself.
Because if you
mm-hmm.
don't know him for yourself, you'll be so easily influenced because you're
right.
worshiping man. You're worshiping a person. And half the time, these people are worshiping them because they're envious of that power. So they're like, okay, if I worship this, maybe a little bit of your power rub off on me.
Gotcha.
But again, that is just a man. That is just a human being. And so people end up worshiping the little g's or the idols,
mm-hmm.
almost like idolatry, and worshiping man and wanting that love of man instead of worshiping Christ and the love of Christ. So then they allow themselves to be influenced. But that's why it's important that we have prayer service. It's important that we have a prayer life. It's important that we study God's word so that we won't be fooled by the trick of the enemy. And so we'll recognize, you know, the closer you get to Christ, when there could be somebody that's standing smiling in your face, but you know
mm-hmm.
when they have in them, and
Amen.
You recognize that evil
yeah.
because you're trying to spirit by the spirit. We don't
nope.
do that anymore.
Nope.
It's more of how I feel
mm-hmm.
or how this person makes me feel. Or let me get on this person's coattail. So if I get on
uh-huh.
his coattail, then, you know, then I can ride up and rise up too. And that's what I see in these multitudes, because they know that this is wrong.
Yeah,
but, okay, but they're the president. They're the ones that are in charge. They're religious
right.
leaders. It, all the miracles that we saw, he's just one person. But, you know, and we they say this is going to happen, but I don't believe it's going to happen. So let's get on that and jump on the bandwagon and follow that. Same thing with church meetings. You'll have one person,
yep.
one deacon, somebody, take a little few scriptures out and start saying, well, you know, it appears to be this, that, and the other. And then some people who never thought about it before, like, you know what, you're right.
Yep.
It's that
yep.
whole itchy. That whole itchy ear thing, that itchy ear. And then it's like then you're like Judas. You follow down that road, and you're like, oops, you know, here we go. And, again, you don't even have to go to the Bible. If you go back, I think it was World War II when they had Pearl Harbor.
Yep.
And the Japanese said, I'm afraid we just woke up the sleeping giant.
Sleeping giant.
So
mm-hmm.
it's basically, we did it. We blew them up. Yay, hooray. But now we're getting ready to get our butt kicked. But you already did it then. Why didn't you say that first?
Right.
And it's the same type of thing.
Dr. G.
I agree 100% with Sheila G. And the sad part about it is, you know, I'm just sitting here and going back in my own memory banks with my church,
mm-hmm.
I had to take a stand. Because there were so many people that were following one man. And the problem
mm-hmm.
is people won't study for themselves. They go on what somebody else tells them.
Right.
They don't know
mm-hmm.
enough of the word, but because, okay, the chairman of the deacon.
Right.
So it must be right.
Right.
So they're going to jump on him because they
mm-hmm.
didn't follow him. And what he tells us and what he's been teaching us is the truth. He can be wrong.
Right.
And it
mm-hmm.
takes one person sometimes just to make a stand. And basically, I had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the Lord had to remove all of the naysayers, all of the troublemakers.
Yes.
For that to become what it is.
Right.
But it takes one individual.
Mm-hmm.
Not, okay, like with Pilate's wife and Pilate, they knew what the deal was,
mm-hmm.
but they couldn't stand on what the truth was because of what they were afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
And that girlfriend had been troubled in a dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
she was bold enough to tell him, and women
tell,
don't tell their husband
but,
back then.
No, but boyfriend, he couldn't go against what he was afraid of, though.
Mm-hmm.
So he, as we said, try to play politics. But when folk are determined, they're going to do what they're going to do, they're going to
mm-hmm.
do it. Then
you're exactly right.
Them
right.
at the end, all you had to do was slow your roll.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're so right. It's like people are going to do what they want to do, but God has to get weeded out. And so
Amen.
let's finish this up. And you know, they want to destroy Jesus, but in verse 21, the governor comes back to him and says, the governor answered and said unto them, whether the twain will ye that I release unto? And they said Barabbas. You they want the criminal release. They don't want what's right. It's just so asinine that they want what's wrong. And if you tell them what's wrong is not good for them, they still want to go with what's wrong. And in verse 22 it says, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus? It's like, well, Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He's asking. Pilate's trying to weasel his way and politic his way out of the best he can because he didn't want no trouble with Caesar in Rome, and it's going to be an uproar. And Pilate said unto them in verse 22, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all said unto him, let him be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the NIV, it says, what shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Messiah? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify. Every one of them turned their back on him, just like his disciples turned their back on him. And you know, this is the question that we can ask every Sunday and every day. What shall we do with Jesus? What shall we do with this Messiah? What shall we do with the one that God sent to save us? And time after time, the sin influenced, the sin deceived world says, crucify him.
Yep.
It's devastating. And then Pilate goes on to say, why? What crime has he committed? I'm reading from the NIV. What crime has he committed, asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify. And in other words, they not only said kill him, but they got indignant and said kill him. So when people want to do wrong, they're going to do wrong, and they're going to say it's everybody else's fault. They're going to do their thing, and it's going to be wrong. And they'll say, yeah, I know I'm wrong. They'll get so uppity and ignorant and pious, they'll say, and I'll see you in hell.
Yeah. Amen. When people want to be wrong, they want to be wrong. They want to do what they want to do. They'll, like you said, they'll make excuses, and they won't acknowledge that they're wrong. Our own president did it this week. He actually said in front of the world that I think it's going to go this way, but I could be wrong. You never know in a year or two. And he actually said, I'd never admit it, but I could be wrong. So to be that bold about, I could be wrong, but I'm still going to do what I want to do anyway. To feel that you're that powerful.
Amen.
And that's the same thing here. It's like crucify him. We don't have to have a reason just because we said so. Because I felt like it. And in fact, why are you asking me that? You know, that's the thing is people will get defensive when they want to do something and you're trying to show them the logical reason as to why it makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. Or you know what? Yeah, you're probably right. Or, you know, let's compromise. Let's think about this. They'll basically dig in and push back harder and be more adamant. This is what I want, like a 2-year-old. And throw a tantrum, and that's what they were doing here. We don't need to give you right just because we said so. We don't have to give you a reason.
Right. It's crazy, and if you look at the rest of this, in verse 23 it says, and the governor said, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out more, saying, let him be crucified. And in verse 24 says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, and that's what Pilate wanted to avoid, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See to it. And read that in the NIV. It says, when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood. He said, it is your responsibility. And so when the crap hits the fan, nobody wants responsibility. Everybody's like, he wants to be able to go back and tell Caesar, it wasn't my fault. You know, and the religious leaders want to go back and say it was Pilate's fault. And you know, they know it's innocent blood. And in verse 25 it says, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Now, that is a curse upon your family and your children. And when people do these crazy things and they don't investigate who they're voting for and they don't look at what people's platforms are, what they're talking about, and they just want to put somebody in office or put someone in charge or they just want to get together and go along with the crowd, what happens is it becomes not only a curse for you, but it becomes a curse for your family or your children and your children's children. Here they are saying, you know, don't worry about it. We want to have it our way because we're scared of this Jesus, that we want the blood on us and on our children. And it's a sad commentary that people will get to this. And then the last section, verse of this section says, verse 26, then release he Barabbas, this is Pilate, released Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And this is how this story, this ugly story, played out of men not seeking God and being fearful of the one that came to save them because of the spirit of fear that Satan is manipulating against people. And it's the same fear that's being manipulated today that are causing men, mankind, to make wrong decisions again in the year 2018. Sheila G.
And it's crazy because it's just a temporary fix. It's just a temporary high.
Mm-hmm.
It's a temporary joy. You know, here's a temporary victory. Here they, once he got released for them to crucify him, they all felt so victorious. But like we said, in the end, that's not what happened. And but then again, like you said, you can't turn back. But it's always this, we've come to this microwave society where we want it now, where we want to be happy all the time. We want somebody to be pleasers. We want to be people pleasers. We want to be this, that, and the other. And we don't want to go through the process of waiting. We don't want to go through the process of overcoming struggles. We just want it to be laid out. And so we just want to jump on the bandwagon of whoever we think get us there the quickest.
Amen. Dr. G, any words? We're going to close out. Just wanted to finish up this section because it's here with us today of the same type of fear that was promulgated on folks back then is being put on people today to fear what is good for God or good for God's people and have them fearful of what man is trying to do. And we just have to keep studying this word, and we just have to keep letting people know don't fear what man can do. Man can destroy the outward body, but God can destroy the flesh and the soul. And he is the one that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. But we have to we have to know what our religion, our spiritual guidance is. We have to know what our physical politicians are talking about. And we have to hold them accountable. And we have to hold ourselves accountable to what's right with God and what's right with who we elect, whether it's our religious leaders or political leaders, and how important it is that we do these things. So, Dr. G, we're going to ask you for your final comments and close out with prayer. And I promise, if the Lord says so, next Thursday, that we will get our callers involved. Dr. G.
Well, you know, it's a shame that we live in a society that we do. And it's also a shame that we haven't learned anything in all these years. You know, we're still going through the same thing, doing the same old things. And if people would just stop, slow down. You know, we're so busy living our lives. If we would just slow down and seriously let our lives let the Lord take control of our lives. You know, but, you know, we're playing a game. And ultimately, we're going to lose if we keep on. Because the Bible talks about the road leading up. He also talks about the road leading down. He also teaches us that when he comes back, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess.
Wow.
So what Pilate did or what the chief priests and the elders, everyone is going to have to give an account of what they've done down here. And, you know, we have to continue to preach the truth, live the truth, and encourage people to get into that word. And then when it comes to voting, you know, folk have got to get out and vote.
Amen.
And stop trying to depend on somebody else to do it all.
That's right.
So, you know, we're praying and we're praying that people would wake up along this journey because things are not the way that they appear to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if we continue to let the Donald Trumps and others in the political arena have their way, you know, we're going to become one of those communist countries that we don't want to be. You know, and all that stuff that boyfriend talking about, him and Kim did, that's just a smokescreen.
Mm-hmm.
So with the hat, I'm just going to ask that everyone would bow their heads. Eternal God, our Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you for another evening that we've been able to get into your word. Lord, we pray right now that that word would be a light unto our feet. Help us, O Lord, to understand what you're teaching. Lord, thank you for allowing us to see what you went through to fast forward to what we're going through. Lord, I pray you would touch folk and help people to understand that the time is now to wake up. Help us, O Lord, that we might be mindful of what you're trying to show us. Lord, we're praying that you would be with us the rest of this week. And whatever your will is, O Lord, let it be done. For we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.